if members can be patient, just one more item. I don't want to lose my whole committee or my whole task force. I promise I'll get done very quickly. Shuki, sorry.
Yeah, I just want to make a conflict of interest declaration because the project proponent is a member of the association. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No problem. I think we have some other, not conflicts, but people who have direct interests. Peter, I think, Director Verbis, and Andy Leung, Director Ronaloo. Welcome to stay, but I think, in fairness, should not participate. Welcome Choice Win, welcome In Yam, welcome Ronaloo, welcome Urbis, welcome Llewellyn Davis, and my apologies for having kept you. We've had a very busy agenda, very busy agenda. No problem. Would it be helpful if members look at those models before you start? Okay. Right. For new members, and just reminding existing members, we've had one look at this as already. We've had one briefing, as you know, and we've also had one working session with the proponents. And I think what they'd like to show us today is further refinements that they've made to the scheme. Okay, Alan, are you going to brief us?
I'm going to brief you, yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much.
So I'll just run through this. What we've done is looked at the scheme, further to the last full meeting of the of your group, we've had a look at the scheme in terms of the comments that were made, and Planning Department has asked us to review the scheme and just look at the various elements that were brought up, and then to see what that does in terms of the overall design. The key question has been one of porosity, and we've had a very serious look at this. We've gone to the extent of building models to show you this, and I think after this presentation you can come and have a look at the various models. But we've also got illustrations in this scheme to show you what it looks like and what the ramifications of each scheme are. So without further ado, I'll just whiz through the presentation because some of you will have seen some of this before. So what we're going to look at in terms of the presentation is just go through what the 10-tower scheme was, which was the one we presented to you previously. Just a quick recap of the comments that you've made previously, and then the responses to the comments. And these have generated two additional schemes. One is a 9-tower scheme, and the other is an 8-tower scheme. And I think you'll be able to see the ramifications of this in terms of design, massing, and the arrangement of the towers next door to the waterfront. Okay, we go look at the series of comparisons of these, and then I'll give you an overview right at the end. So the site context, you know, it's a great site right beside the waterfront. It's important that this particular development responds well to its context. It must be seen to be a quality development that is responsive not just to context, but also to the parameters that have been laid down by government and yourselves for these sort of sites at the waterfront. It gives you a real context image here. It's a solid development right along Jaffe Road behind it, with ascending heights going back towards the ridge line. Some of the development's not so terribly pretty that's actually beside it, so in a way, this development should help to enhance the waterfront. And in fact, one major part of our proposals is not just the development itself, but is to provide public spaces and indeed enhance the overall waterfront. So, the original scheme. This is the layout you might recall. We had a total of 10 towers displayed across the entire site. Then that had the effect of creating a massing in this sort of arrangement, what we did was we conformed not only to the requirement under the urban design guidelines for Hong Kong that there would be a decline in height toward the waterfront, but also to add visual interest to the scheme, had a decline in height towards the east and also towards the west. So you're getting a really interesting development that fulfills all the requirements of the planning brief that we were given, and indeed gives some very interesting profiles to the building form. So there it is in situ. It looks though it's always belonged there. It sits very nicely with the towers behind it. You can see the cascading building form of the scheme and the waterfront open space that we're generating in front of the scheme adjacent to the ferry piers. So in profile and at an oblique level, you're getting this kind of arrangement. A really exciting scheme which set out in a curvilinear arrangement, but also with dissensions of height from the south to the north and also to the east and to the west. Right, the comments that we had, the principal ones were in terms of the gaps between the buildings themselves rather than the form. I think, generally speaking, this committee or commission agreed that the form itself was fairly fine, but there was concern at the building gaps in between the buildings themselves. So we've had a really detailed look at this. There were questions on the convenience of the public transport interchange. We've actually addressed these. I don't think there was really an issue in this one, so I'll just really go quickly over this. But we do provide provision for a future MTR connection as well as incorporating the existing PTI undercover within this development. Certainly, there will be seating in the outdoor space. We have to reprovision everything that's there right now. This will be an enhanced scheme that will be far superior to what's there today. There was a concern at whether we've got the coach parking facilities accommodated. Yes, we have 30 spaces for the coach parking. It is a bit of a problem in this area. There's always shortage of coach parking spaces in Hong Kong, and we're providing 30 spaces as required by our brief. Okay, so in response to the comments, let's look at what a nine-tower scheme would look like. Well, the layout itself starts to change just slightly, with the disposition of towers remaining broadly in the same alignment, but then you're introducing gaps between the buildings. We have not done any changes at all to the waterfront's landscape scheme. So in profile, this is what you've got. Now, I've got a few comparison slides right at the end so you can see the three schemes together. So almost similarly to the 10-tower scheme, the 9-tower scheme actually has a dissension in height towards the east and the west, as well as conforming, obviously, to the dissension of height towards the waterfront. There is wider gaps in between buildings, and I'll come back to how wide the gaps actually are just a little bit later on. So there it sits. Not a hugely perceptible difference from the 10-tower scheme from this viewpoint. Obviously, it's a distance viewpoint, but you can see it fits in. But you can see the profiling of the development going towards the east and to the west. Right, let's go to the 8-tower scheme. The layout starts to break further apart. Obviously, it's within the confines of the site, but you're getting larger gaps in between the buildings, and the disposition remains broadly the same with the curvilinear crescent shape of the development. What does happen when you try to accommodate the GFA is that you're flattening out the development. You're not getting the profiling of the development downwards towards the east and the west. But nevertheless, you do achieve wider gaps in between the buildings, if that's indeed what one would wish to achieve. It sits broadly in much the same way as the previous ones, but there is no real significant profiling of the development to the east and the west, and it takes on the sort of flat top form of the Provident Centre just to the west of the development site. If you look at the building gaps, as I said before, we'll show you how much the building gaps are. We've got around about 67.4 metres in building gaps on the 10-tower scheme. So if you go for the wider gaps on the 9-tower scheme, you're getting a 29% increase over and above that provided on the 10-tower scheme. And on the 8-tower scheme, you're getting about a 35% increase overall. Just to make it clear, we'll be having all-weather connections to the public transport interchange. This was an issue that was discussed, and we just want to make it plain that there is that. And then there was a comment by a member, I think it was Paul, in terms of connections to the MTR station. Yes, there is provision for a connection to the local MTR station. In terms of the public open space, well, they're quite clearly indicated here. You've got the promenade space in red, and then the remainder space, which would be built by the developer, which would be publicly accessible and available for use by the general public. Just an indication of where the coaches are and the parking. In terms of the various comparisons, well, clearly, in terms of building gaps, we're ticking all the boxes as you go to lesser towers. And then all the other factors that you've mentioned in your comments are all addressed under each of the schemes, whether you've got 10, 9, or 8. So, to look at the comparisons, this shows on the outlines, you can see the outlines of the original schemes vis-a-vis the 9 and 8 tower schemes against the 10 tower scheme. Again, this illustrates this. Then you're looking at the sectional differences. You're looking at the variation and the gaps. I don't think a really huge difference between the 9 and the 8 tower schemes in terms of the sectional illustrations of the gaps. And then visually, what you're getting in terms of the schemes as you're looking at them from Hong Kong Promenade. And then a view from Kwun Tong Promenade. I don't think there's much in the way of perception that you would see these building gaps from these sort of distances. You get very minor differences in the vistas from the landward side. You can see there's not really much difference here in terms of the configuration of the buildings as they're viewed from the street. Again, not a huge difference here either between the 8 and the 9 and the 8 scheme. Again, just slight difference in this scheme. So, to look at it in overview, there you see the three schemes before you, and we invite you, probably before you ask any questions, to have a look at the models, if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman, and then we can perhaps take your questions on these schemes.
All right, members, let's have a quick look at the models. Looks like a choice between, or may not be a choice between, or maybe a compromise between porosity and stepping, but let's have a look when you see the models. So why don't we have a quick look at the models? Thank you.
Nobody wants to look at the models. I'll let Kelvin do it. Kelvin. Oh, yeah, he's going to do it any time. Kelvin, do you want to just go run through these?
Yes. This is the original 10 tower schemes. So you can see that the stepping profile is much more substantial in accordance with the planning brief, with the lowest towers at the 50 MPD and the highest one at 80 MPD. So you see the stepping profile is quite substantial and readily revealable. So for this one, we take out one tower, so it is a 9 tower scheme. So you can see that in order to fulfill the lease requirements for having the minimum of 700 units, we need to put back those units at the top of the buildings. So you can see that the stepping profile is a little bit slightly less substantial than the previous one. But of course, the building gaps have a 20 meters increase as compared to the previous one, which the porosity is much better for the 9 tower scheme. So for the 8 tower scheme, we have removed one further towers. But in order to fulfill the list requirements on the number of units, we have no choice but to reshuffle the remaining units all over the building tops. And you can see that due to the height restrictions under the OCP and the lease, we could only build up to 80 MPDs, and so the whole rooftop will be flat. And there's no any sort of a stepping profile for the 8 tower scheme. So you can see the difference. I think for the 9 tower scheme, we got a balance in maintaining the interesting stepping profile in the context of racial lines in response to the context. At the same time, we have maintained or increased the porosity to quite a substantial extent. So maybe members could have an overall view on all the three schemes.
Right, members. Well, Vincent has already expressed a very clear preference and view. Any other thoughts around the table? Unfortunately, two of our designers are precluded from participating, but we had a clear view from Vincent anyway. Anybody else? Well, the chairman is probably not supposed to express views, but I'll put on record. But I certainly would also take the view that Vincent has expressed that. We get, in a way, we get the best of both worlds if, out of the nine tower option. We get the stepping and we get better porosity. So I certainly would favour the nine tower scheme. People generally in favour of the nine tower scheme? Yes, all right, okay. So, a clear support, Alan, for the nine tower scheme. We think we get stepping and porosity, so we're happy on both fronts. Thank you very much. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Actually, you can just leave them for a moment and I'll wrap up. Just leave them and I'll wrap up the meeting and then you can cut. I'm going to wrap up the meeting now.
We've got some people coming to pick them up, so...
Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.